Well, Lord's good. Doesn't matter whether you got a big church or a little church, he's good. Doesn't matter whether we like it or we don't like it, he's good. There's a life that can be lived that's victorious all the time. Most Christians live horizontally. And that's up and down, happy today and sad tomorrow. It's a conditional Christianity. And if you live conditional Christianity, every time your circumstances change, you change. But if you live positional Christianity, that's vertical. Doesn't matter what happens, you're the same all the time. Amen. That's the way it works. Miles Stanford wrote, the complete green letters of Miles Stanford. I think it's in one book now, but one of those is positional Christianity. And you ought to read it. I don't know if they've got it in the bookstore or not, but if they've got it, it'd be a good investment for you. The Complete Green Letters of Miles Stanford. And that helped change my life. It helped me to see that our victory is in Christ. Our victory is not in people. We minister to people. They minister to us. But our victory is in Christ, him alone. You know, field reps booking meetings all the time. And that's a hard thing to do. But if we're not careful, we'll think that our victory is in those churches out there. Our victory is not in those churches. Our victory is in Christ. You know, sometimes even, you know, Jason, the evangelist, is sometimes hard to book meetings. And I'm not trying to counsel Brother Jason, but you're waiting on those churches out there. But it's not in those churches. I remember I was in Bible school, and I did try to go a little while until they had me trying to memorize the Greek alphabet. I thought, now why am I ever going to need the Greek alphabet? You know, so I learned alpha, beta, gamma. I thought, fool on that. So I went ahead and got the last one, omega. Alpha, beta, gamma, omega. That don't spell nothing. And so I said, I don't need to do this. But I remember one night in a class, there was a boy there, I felt he was called evangelism. And he asked the question. He said, if I'm called to be an evangelist, and, you know, I do everything I'm supposed to do, live right and do right, and the churches won't have me for meetings. And the instructor said, they have to have you. Now, there's a message in that. You see, our Christianity is not up to them. It's up to Christ. Victorious Christian life. Not many people know much about that. He said, how do you get to it? You probably don't want to go through it. You probably don't want to suffer that, okay? But let me, before I start here tonight, and there won't be preaching on my part, if you want to call somebody a little later on, do some preaching, that'll be good. But I want to talk about Victor Baptist Press tonight. But let me recommend a couple of things to you. If you're going to have an effective ministry for the cause of Christ, not to pad your own wallet, not to your own prestige, not to give you bragging rights, but if you're going to have a ministry that's going to honor Christ and be effective, you're going to have to be dead to self. You're going to have to be broken from yourself. See? And what will happen, if you don't have that kind of a life, you're going to migrate to other people who don't have that kind of life. You know, I'm getting ready to teach in the school. Tim said, at first, Popery, deal with things you want, anything you want to, but he's naming it trends, current trends. And what people do, they learn to follow a trend. If there's a whole lot of people doing it, we'll do it. Now, that doesn't make it right. But if a whole lot of people are doing it, it becomes a trend. And we follow trends. You can't help but following trends if you stay connected to the world all the time. What you do, you find it out from television, social networking, you know, whatever. And by the way, we have a lot of hypocrisy in Christianity today. I've looked at thousands of websites, and it's not unusual for them to advertise old-fashioned, independent, separated, Bible-believing Baptist church. There's no such thing as a person separated from the world that uses social networking. Social networking connects you to the world. It does not separate you from it. Isn't that a blessing? You say, well, I got it. Hey, you know what? I'm glad I learned that we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. You know, as long as we think we're good folks, you're never going to know the real power of God in your life. Let me show you the example in the Old Testament. Of course, you folks here know that I do a lot of preaching in the book of Job. But look at Job chapter number 31. You say, you against social networking? I'm just telling you what I do. You know, in fact, I don't observe Christmas, but the other night, now all my family does, and I'm not against it, but the other night, when Jacob preached that message and showed some good things about Christmas, man, if he'd have preached that 30 days earlier, I believe I'd have put up a tree. Amen. But I've decided next year I think I'm going to do Halloween. Now, why would I do that? Because you can buy a pumpkin a lot cheaper than you can buy a Christmas tree. And they hold their value longer. I mean, one day after Christmas, your Christmas tree, I mean, that's history, amen? You got to save another $100 or whatever, but you can eat that pumpkin. Amen. You say, why are you like you are? Can you imagine how much stuff I don't know? Everything you learned on television, I don't know that. I haven't had one since 1970. Well, how about that? Man, you say, you old fogey, you got that right, buddy. And I'm like Tony Hudson, I'm trying to go backward just as fast as I can go to old-fashioned Christianity. Amen. You know, let me point out something here in the book of Job, chapter number 31. But go first of all back to chapter 26. Job chapter 26. Now there's three men of Job and they're on a dialogue. And one of them will talk and then Job will talk. And then another one will talk and Job will talk. And another one talk and Job will talk. But when you get to verse number 1 of chapter 26, but Job answered and said, and Job starts talking. And he goes through all of that chapter. And in chapter 27, verse 1, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, and he goes through that chapter talking. Then chapter 28, he goes through that one talking. And then in chapter number 29, verse 1, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, and it goes through chapter number 30 and chapter 31. Now, when you get to chapter 31, let me point out something. He says some good things about himself. But just let me pick it up in verse number 24. And Job said in verse number 24, if I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. You know what confidence? That's another word for faith. Faith is confidence in God. That's what it is. So Job said, my faith, my confidence. If I made gold, my confidence. If I rejoiced because of my wealth was great and because my hand had gotten much. If I beheld the sun when it shined or the moon walking in brightness. And my heart had been secretly enticed or my mouth hath kissed my hand. This also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge. For I should have denied the God that is above. You know what Job's doing? Beginning with the verse that I showed you first of all and going through this entire chapter. You know what Job's doing? He's telling you how good he was. Spirit-filled Christians don't brag on themselves. You say Job was a good man. He was the best man on the earth. And his three people knew it. God knew it, the devil knew it, and Job knew it. Spirit-filled people don't brag on themselves. That's what Job said about himself. Humble people don't brag on themselves. See? And when you get to the end of chapter number 31, verse number 40, the last five words, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words, the words of Job are ended. Now, the New Testament verse that we would need to cross-reference that with is to let every mouth be stopped and the whole world become guilty before God. See? You know what Job was? A good man. You know what you are? You're good people. This is a good church. You're good people by my standard. But by your standard, I mean, if you're the cat's ankle, you need help. And so God sends this preacher along with the name of Elihu that preached the, I mean, laid it on him pretty heavy. But let me say this to you. And, if, you know, if you want to talk to me after the service, I'll give you a little time to listen to what you got to say. But did you know at this point, Job 31, Job didn't know God? Do you know at this point, you won't find one place that God even spoke to Job. Job did not know God. He'd heard about him from somebody else, but he didn't know him. You know what we've got in Independent about? We've got churches filled with people that never met God. I believe what Martin Lloyd-Jones said, he who thinks well of himself has never met God. Job didn't know God. In fact, Job himself said in chapter 42 and verse 5, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. You know, you got people sitting right here 3 years old. Your mother led you to Christ and told you about it later on. If that's all you got trouble. I was preaching along this in Austin, Texas one night and had a preacher boy, said he's going to be a preacher. But anyway, and that night after the service, driving to wherever we were going, he said to me, he said, for the first time in my life, I saw what a wretched sinner I am. It had been a good time to get saved, but he didn't. Now, when Elihu preached to Job, and Job doesn't fight back, Job doesn't show any rebellion whatsoever, and when he didn't, he met God. And when he met God, in chapter 38, verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, and he starts talking to Job, Job, did you know? No, you didn't, but I do. Job, was you there? No, you was not, but I was. Job, and he goes through 200 and some questions, and Job couldn't answer any of them. And after God talks to Job for a little while, you look at chapter 40 and verse 1, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. You know who God's talking? He's talking to Job. You know what Job had said? His righteousness was more than God's. He had reproved God. You know what Job said? Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. That doesn't sound like the same fellow back in chapter 31. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. And you know what God does? God shows himself to Job. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Somebody told him about it, and he believed what they said, but he hadn't personally met God. But now, mine eye seeth thee. He came to understand God. Well, we got a lot of religious people need to come to understand God and never met him. They don't know him. Their success is in numbers. You know what a good service in the Baptist church is? If the offerings are up, the attendance is up. That's a good service. But you know Jesus, he'll be in a little church same as he will a big church.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. He said, what do you need? We need to be broken from ourselves.
Right.
You know. We need to die to self and let Christ be all and in all. In fact, in doing the work of God, field reps, me, whoever we are, the human nature is to manipulate ourselves into a church. Manipulate a bigger offering. Get a repeat meeting, that kind of stuff. And I hope you do. And I hope you get a bigger offering. And I hope all that stuff happens. But let's do it for the glory of God. Amen. Die to self. All right? And so that's clear in the scriptures, death to self. And in the bookstore, we're going to do something this week, and I'll leave it up to Jacob the rest of the week and tell you about it. But if you're a preacher, you're called to preach, you know you're called to preach, you're God's man, then in the bookstore, I think we've got 53 different titles that we publish. Now, we didn't write them all, but we published 53, I think, in the bookstore. There's several hundred books in there. But if you go in the bookstore after the service anytime to see either Chris or Rachel, they'll give you $25 worth of books that's VBP exclusives. Now, if you go in there and get a book, by all means, Get Personal Consecration by Hubert Brooke. That'll change your life if it needs changing. That is one of the most powerful books on discipleship that I've ever read. And Dr. Charles Keene wrote it, and Dr. Keene said, I never did believe that discipleship was 20 pages of filling in blanks. But that's what discipleship courses today amount to, 20 pages of filling in blanks. It's not filling in blanks. And, of course, I'll say a word about this in a minute, but Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations. People who know Greek say that that means go disciple. You cannot make a disciple. You might teach somebody the truth of it, but you cannot make a disciple. Amen. A disciple is death to self. It's a transfer of ownership. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Amen.
Amen.
So what are you doing? Well, I'm really putting a test on the message Tim preached on Wednesday night as a classic. See what your reaction is to reproof. You can tell more about a person by their reaction than you can by whether they're doing right or wrong. So hope you don't get mad, but the more times you can get mad without sinning, the better off you'll be. Amen. Boy, man, isn't this something? Tighter than a banjo string in your Two kind of things make me want to preach. A real lively liberty service and one that's dead. Amen. So you ought to get that book and read it. The other one you ought to get is by Brent Logan, a little old paperback deal, Incompatible. You know, same-sex marriage stuff going on in the country, it's rampant. And that's the most concise and yet pointed and clear thing that I've ever seen, Incompatible. We've already sold many hundreds of them. And Brother Logan this week had 100. He said Tony Stark came by his place and took every one of them. He's getting the container ready to go to Uganda. And he said in Uganda, the president or whatever they call their leader, he said that guy is coming down hard on same-sex marriage and transgender and all that stuff. And he said the average church and the pastor over there is fighting against him, using that to campaign against him. They're for it more than the president is. And so Brother Stark said, I need them in Uganda. And so he took all they had. Brent said, I need another run of them. Okay. All right, let me give you the second thing that you're going to have to learn. And you may know this stuff better than me. I didn't go to school. And you know, fine. But there may be somebody out of here that don't know this. There's a lot of things that we do in our Baptist churches that we just do them. We don't know why we do them. We don't understand the doctrine behind them. We just do them. We heard somebody else say it. It's a trend, so we just do it. But do we understand? I think if we understand the biblical doctrine of the church and our relationship to it, you realize that you have a responsibility. Let me make you a statement that's going to be rejected, I mean, across the board by a greater percentage of Baptists, and I'm a Baptist, you know, you saw the sign out there, so I'm not, you know, but we hear a lot of sermons on I'm for the church, and, you know, and we talk about the church a lot. We don't define what that is, but, you know, and then we say this, we say Christ is building the church. Well, let me say this to you. Jesus Christ is not building the local church. Does that sound like a heresy? Give me a minute to elaborate on that. He's not building the local church. He said, what's he building? If you look, without us turning to the verses, if you look at Matthew 16, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. He said, I'll build that. He said, that's a local church. That's not a local church. That's a mystical, invisible body of Jesus Christ. So I don't believe in that. Fine, you know, we all got the treasure again in earthen vessels. Sometimes the vessel's cracked, broke, spattered, molded, you know, whatever. And we just haven't one another to get back on the wheel. But when Jesus said upon this rock, I will build my church, you say, how does he do that? Well, in Matthew, church mentioned one time there, Matthew 18, two times. It's not in Mark, Luke, or John. It doesn't show up again until after Acts 2. And then you got church. And most of the time from there on, it's talking about a local assembly, but not always. And there are those that are landmark Baptists, Baptist bride, a real sectarian. If you're not a brider, if you're not a landmarker, then you're not a Bible believer. They don't give you any Bible for it. But Jesus said, I will build my church. So let me tell you how it happens. If you come with a repentant heart, and I mean you're sorry, you're a sinner, you know it. You say, how many sins are you sorry for? All of them. The little ones, stealing the cookie, cheating on a test at school, you know, getting drunk, selling, whatever, anything, whatever. As long as your schoolmaster tells you what you are. And when you see your condition as a lost, hell-bound sinner, and you come humbly to Jesus Christ and take him as your Lord and Savior, you don't even know it happens at that time. But you know what he does? Spiritually, he baptizes you into the body of Christ. And that's a mystical church. You can't see it. But he baptizes you into the body of Christ. You say, you're Baptist? I don't care if it's a Methodist. I don't care what it is. If you trusted Jesus Christ, he put you in that body. You're in it. How did you get in it? You got in it by baptism. Let me look at a verse here in Hebrews chapter 12. And in Hebrews chapter number 12, you say, well, I don't believe in a church that can't be touched or seen. Well, in Hebrews chapter number 12, and it's as clear as the fingers on your hand. But it says in chapter number 12, is that it? Is that right? That's it. In chapter number 12, it says in verse number 18, talking to those Jews under a lot of persecution, but he says, for ye are not come. Skip down to verse number 22. But ye are come. He tells you what you are not come to, and then he tells you what you have come to. What is it that you have not come to? For ye are not come into the mount that might be touched. You've come to the mount that may not be touched. And that burned with fire, nor under blackness and darkness and tempest. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. You know that scene in the Old Testament. That's Sinai. That's law. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. That's that scene at Sinai where God shook the earth. And they were afraid. You've not come to that. But ye are come unto Mount Zion. And unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and an innumerable company of angels. The general assembly and church of the firstborn. Who's the firstborn? About 14 times without the notes before me. Jesus Christ in the New Testament is the firstborn. In the Old Testament, the first person born of the family. But in the New Testament, it's Jesus Christ. So, ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Why didn't he say my church? Because it wasn't Christ talking. He did say my church in back in chapter 16 of Matthew. That would be like if I said to you, Mary Fallure is my wife. But you can't say she is my wife. You could say she's the wife of Jim Fallure. That's all that is. You know what that is? That's the church that cannot be touched. That's the church that's already assembled in heaven. Let me show you what real worship is. You come to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. What's a just man made perfect? It's one that has finally dropped this veil of wicked, corrupt flesh. And with no inhibitions, his spirit's in heaven. And he's able to worship God in spirit and in truth without distraction. And I like what F.B. Meyer said. Somewhere in this universe, there's an assembly of the souls of men that have perfect spirits who worship God. And when I become dead to self but alive unto God, I'm able in an hour of worship to climb those celestial stairs and join into that assembly and worship my Heavenly Father in spirit and truth. Me and Harold Sider worship together today. Me and Dr. Leroy, we worship together today. You can sit together in heavenly places. See? But if you're going to live your life horizontally, you can be up and down like a yo-yo. But if you can ever die to self, amen. Maybe the things that I do, can I just at least get a little recognition? No. You can, if somebody else picks up on it, let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. Amen. I bought me a doctor's degree one time. Brother Jason, I don't know what you had to buy. You didn't have to buy yours. Did you? You got yours, they gave it to you. Me and him are doctors. Isn't that the silliest thing you ever heard? That's silly. We just want a little recognition. Let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. Amen. You know, this illustration, I give it a lot, but we printed the book by Stephen Olford. Not I, but Christ. You know the reason a lot of people go back to the world? They can't say, not I. He gave the illustration. Some old timer said there's a man that lived in sin and womanizer and whatever. He got born again. Man, he died to self and lived a victorious Christian life. And one day or one night, he's walking down the street, and one of those old women, one of those old partners of sin in the night before he was saved, said, Charlie, it is I. And he turned and said, it is not I. He had died to self. Amen. And that little old story, it's in his book or maybe one of them that we published. But you know the story of the frog and the two swans? And the two swans come gliding in. The frog says, boy, where'd you come from? He said, well, we come from the heavens. He said, I bet that's a beautiful place. They said, it is. I bet the pond and the water and the scenery of the pond's beautiful too. And the frog said, it is. You want to take a tour? They said, sure. He said, follow me. So the frog swam all around the pond, showed them the beauties of the pond. And then he said, there ought to be a way that I could get into the heavens. He said, I'll tell you what, I got an idea. He said, let's get a stick. And you get one swan on one end and one swan on the other end and clamp that stick. And I'll clamp the middle of that stick with my mouth. And you just fly all over and fly around and fly all over and let me look down on the earth while I'm clamping that stick. They said, we'll do it. They did it. And there that frog is hanging onto that stick. And the swans on each end. And they're flying all over the heavens and showing him the beauty of the heavens. And finally they got low enough and flew over a group of people and somebody looked up and said, look at that. What a novel idea. I wonder who thought of that. And the frog said, I did. That's the end of him. At least somebody brag on me a little bit. You know what the Bible says? Unto him be glory through the church.
Yes.
Not unto me be glory through the church. Yes. Unto him be glory through the church.
All about it.
Now what I'm saying, what does that have to do with a local church?
Yes.
Who's building it? You are. In Matthew 16, I will build. In Matthew 28, go ye. It's your time now. You do it. But he is building. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Here's the way it works. Brother Jason just built a new house. He probably didn't do most of the work on it. He worked. But other people built it. But when he shows it to you, he don't tell you, they built a new house. God is the overseer. He's the director. He says, you do it. Now, I'm going to give you a manual to go by. If you'll build that church according to this manual, it'll be okay. I'm going to give you a power to do it with. That's the Spirit of God inside to lead you and direct you. And by the way, in the process of building that church, if you hit a problem that the Bible doesn't cover, the door's open. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Come talk with me. I'll tell you what to do in that situation. Now, if you don't believe that, think about this parallel. Did you know what happens when a person submits themselves for water baptism? If they've been taught right and preached right and they know what they're talking about, that means that I have repented and believed the gospel. I'm saved. I'm a candidate for water baptism. And we believe that when that person is scripturally baptized in water, they become a member of that local church. So here's the way it works. The essence is somebody comes down the aisle and they've submitted themselves for water baptism, and in essence they're saying, let me show you what's happened to me. I've been baptized. Let me show you a picture of it. And so they've had a spirit baptism, now they have a water baptism. I've been added to a body. And this baptism is going to put me in that local church like that baptism put me in that spiritual church. See, that makes you a part of this body. You know what that means? It's going to be what you make it. Under the leadership of your pastor, it'll be what you make it. If you don't tithe, you hurt it. Now don't leave if you're thinking about it. You might get it right next week. Stay around and, you know, if you don't pray and you don't witness, but it's going to be what you make it. And this is a good church. A good church. And you got about the same number of people all the time. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you got a relatively full house. You're doing a phenomenal job supporting missions. That's good. But let me tell you, I sit back here and analyze, I watch and listen, see what's going on. And there's a lot of churches that have some good preaching. But they got so many programs and so many other things of interest that it camouflages that preaching. And the preaching's not the main menu, the main item on the menu. But here it is. Preaching and Bible study and centered our lives around the Word of God, that's what you get three times a week. Now, let me say this. You got the best of the country. You're not going to find a preacher that consistently can preach three good sermons or three good Bible lessons a week. I mean, top stuff, top-notch stuff for 25 years and not become stale and dull. But Tim does. You say, you're just saying that because he's your boy. That probably got a lot to do with it. But I don't, you know, but still, blood runs thick. You can come up here and tell me about your boy if you want to. If he's not in jail or, you know, somehow. Amen. Now, if he's in jail, we need to pray for him, get him out, you know, whatever. But you know what I'm telling him. Sure, it's my son. And you won't find a better preacher. And I told him the other night, the only one to come close to it's Jacob. You know, he's giving him a run for his money, doing pretty good. And we're praying to Anthony James, that little boy, that he'll get in. You know, that suits me just fine. Amen. And so the church is built around the preaching and the study of the Word of God. And as you follow the leadership of a pastor, you know what you have? You have a great ministry. And you do. But don't forget Job. I vow. Don't start strutting. Amen. Like somebody said, that guy could strut sitting down. And then fundamentalism filled with it. Mr. So-and-so. How many of you running? What's that got to do with anything? How big is your offering? What's that got to do with anything? Used to be a guy over on Kelly Avenue, Richard Sandlin, and I knew Brother Sandlin real well. Back then, he run 1,000 at times. He had Pee Wee, the world's meanest boy, Sunday morning. Had a live monkey. That monkey got loose one time. I don't know whether they caught him or not, man. They chased him all over Pensacola trying to have him in a promotion thing on a Sunday morning. And Brother Sandlin had all the big preachers in. And I mean, Jack Hiles, Bill Rice. I mean, he had all the big boys, John Rice. And we were riding along one day, and I said to him, I said, Brother Sandlin, when these renowned guys, when you have them in for meetings, just one-on-one, what do you talk about? What do you fellowship about? What do you talk about? And I said, you talking about the Bible? He said, no, the conversation is always how much of an increase you've had numerically and financially over last year. He said the closest anybody ever came to getting in a Bible conversation was John R. Rice walked in his room one morning, or in his office one morning real early, and with his glasses down on his nose like that, looked at him and said, you been in the Word this morning? He said, yes, sir. He said, it's what it takes. And that's the end of the Bible study. You know? I tried the shop, kind of geared toward Bible. I know Brother Al Jacob sitting out there one day and got talking about ball scores somewhere, got some carnal in there, man. It just, you know, and I cut it off pretty quick, switched it back to some controversial subject, you know, and got all that carnality back out of there. Amen. I don't like to go to church and stand in the foyer and get the latest news reports. Amen. We're supposed to come in here and, you know, think about God and the Lord Jesus and listen to good preaching like that, man. You know, I don't even believe Selah meant what he said it meant this morning. But it meant it this morning. Amen. I don't have any reason for not believing it, you know. Just somebody got to be different and better. Wasn't that good preaching? Why can't we just be ourselves and get down here on the where the rubber meets the road and all of us say, man, I mean, I'm just a bell with a crack in it, amen. I'm just a piece of pottery that's been busted, and try to get back on the wheel and let him make it again, and let it be a vessel unto honor and do what we do for the glory of God, amen. Amen. Well, what's the idea of me being up here tonight? Well, I'll tell you what I want to do. And that's just kind of a little introduction to a little presentation here of Victory Baptist Press. In fact, I think I'll go ahead and do this. We've got a newsletter down here, and I'd like to have, where's Brother Joe and Jacob, y'all? Give me four young men, four fellas that can walk real fast, and pass these newsletters out. I want to give you a newsletter, and this is just a presentation of Victory Baptist Press. Just give them to everybody, every family, every person, anybody can read. Where'd they go? Okay, all right, you fellas, if you'll help us out, just pass those out. And while you're doing that, I'll get started here with what I want to say to you. And here's your ministry, all right? This doesn't belong to me. This is your ministry, Victory Baptist Press. And in case you don't know, out back there's the print shop, Victory Baptist Press print shop. And inside, we got a group of workers. And let me tell you something about that group of workers before I get into some statistics here. This newsletter, when you get it, you can read it later on. But right on the top, on the left-hand column of the back side of that, it's got Jacob Fuller as assistant director. I've been the director of the ministry, and we're starting to train Jacob, and he's starting to do the things that I do, and picking up, and one of these days, I'm going to die, kick off the scene. And when I do, Lord willing, if Jacob stays straight and does what he does like he's doing it, then he'll become the director. Underneath him is Brother Al Berg, shop manager. Al Berg's been here 34 years, and I believe that's right, 34, unless we've got by another one that I wasn't aware of. And he runs every piece of equipment in that shop, maintains it, takes care of it, keeps it going. And but, you know, Brother Berg, he's getting old and decrepit, and, you know, and arthritis and starting to hurt. And one of these days, somebody's going to have to take his place. So we're praying for somebody. Might happen. He don't know it yet, but anyway. And then right under Brother Berg, there's Joseph Bertram. He's assistant to Al. Brother Joseph is the only man we've ever had in the print shop that Brother Berg said he believes he can learn to run that press. But I tell you, whether he can learn to run that press or not, that's one of the finest young men you'll ever meet. Joseph Bertram is a good brother, called to preach. Him and Jacob, they do an excellent job in the print shop. And then the next one down, Sarah Berg. I don't see Sarah here. Sarah's not here tonight. She's where? In the nursery. Oh, can somebody relieve Sarah? Can we get her out here? Brother Al, can you take her place? All right, Megan, we're going to get Sarah out here. I need Sarah out here before I go any farther. But anyway, you know what I'm doing. I'm not trying to preach to you. I don't want to upset you about something, but anyway, I was telling the wife the other day, I said one thing that's trendy today, that we're going to have trouble over, and that's animals. You know, we don't allow animals in the house, and I think all of you all got a dog, you know. But I was raised that animals stay outside, you know. I mean, that's just the way we were raised. And I don't know why they did that, so I saw a dog clean his rear end with his tongue. And, of course, your dog probably a clean dog. He probably don't do that, you know. And he'll go kiss the baby. Amen. You see, once trends get on, we're afraid to say anything about it. No, we're going to talk about it. But we believe dogs stay on the front porch to keep cats away. Amen. Now, that one's going to go over big. You say, I got a dog. Yeah, I know, but you're an earthen vessel. Amen. And I'm an earthen vessel. You got to put up with me. Amen. I put up with you. Amen. Amen. All right. There's Sarah. Where's Grace? Amen. Sarah, get down here and stand beside of Grace. There's two peas in a pod. All right, come on, Miss Sarah. They've been on vacation this week in Colorado. Now, I know you know her, but let me introduce you to my hero. Sarah Berg is my hero. He says, Sarah, now, I don't know... I couldn't prove this because I only know a few people, but Sarah Berg is the most intelligent person I know. She's a genius. Now, she doesn't flaunt it, whatever, and she's the only perfectionist that I've ever known. Now, she's not a perfectionist in everything, but I tell you what, if she proofread a book or did the layout or set something up in that shop, I'll guarantee you, you're going to look hard and find an error in it. But all of that, I appreciate that, but the reason Sarah Berg is my hero is because I can't give her testimony. I was going to give her and Grace's testimony. They put a copyright on it and dared me to do it, so I can't give her testimony. But if I could give Sarah's testimony, you would be amazed at the health issues that she overcame to be what she is in the print shop. Okay. Now, I'm going to give you some statistics here in a few minutes about Bibles that have gone all over the world. We've got those 53 titles in the bookstore. And these girls have done that. In fact, who put this together? Incompatible. Grace, you designed the cover. Grace did this one, right? Personal consecration. Probably got it inside. Sarah, did you do that? Did you do the layout on personal consecration? Sarah did that. You won't find errors in it. In fact, it's hard to believe sometimes, but Al has been in the print shop 34 years. And you know what you find him doing quite often? He comes in and gets Sarah to show him how to do something. And she shows him. And Sarah focuses on one job. And she don't care whether you speak. She don't care whether you're there or not. She's working on that job. And when it's finished, it's a mark of perfection. Victory Baptist Press would not have the quality that we have without Sarah Berg. And then that's my hero, but I got two. And Grace is my other hero. Now you give Sarah one job and she's going to do it perfect. And then you give Grace one job and she don't know what to do. You give her four jobs. She'll do them all at same time, two in each hand, man. I mean, the first thing you know, they're finished. And whoever named Grace, and I'm sure it was Mama, they named her right. Gracious. Answering the phone, guy, her and Sarah both. Those two girls have become the hub of Victor Baptist Press. Now, you don't find that kind of abilities. Websites, everything they do, it's right there. So that's the two girls. And you couldn't operate without them. And the other day, there was a boy come in the shop, and he's a little black boy, and you say, well, you just didn't like him because he's black. I don't care if he's purple, polka dotted, galvanized, and chartreuse. I don't care what he was. He come in, and I thought I'd test his character a little bit. First of all, I had a sack of biscuits I'd stopped at McDonald's and brought through. And so he come in and sit down, you know, and I had the hood on, so you couldn't tell how old he was. I said, man, I got a biscuit here for myself, and I really don't want to let nobody have it, but if you're really hungry, I'll let you have it. I said, you hungry? Yassa. I said, you want the biscuit? Yassa. He took it. He didn't know anything about constraint, the ministry of constraint, you know. In other words, you maybe don't understand later, but anyway, I give him the biscuit, and he's sitting there eating the biscuit. And then I told that boy, I said, now, there's two young ladies in here, and they're not married, but they're not available. So don't get your eye on them. He said, no, I said, won't. He said, my first girlfriend, she was white, and said, we lived together 9 years. Said, she's a good girl. I could tell she was. You know, he was shacked up with him for 9 years. And then he went to jail for a year, and then he got out and been living with this one 8 years. And I just said, these girls are not available. So I just hung around a little while to make sure he didn't even look her direction. Amen. Amen. I got special interest in them. I get to thinking sometimes that on these days they'll get married and move away. I hope they don't. I hope the old maids the rest of their life stay right there in the print shop. Amen. They're doing the job. Amen. Well, field reps. Of course, you got Joe and you got Jacob in the print shop. And then you got field reps. You look on that sheet there below Grace is Bill and Vicki Richburg. Now, I'm going to tell you, you never met better Christians in your life than Bill and Vicki Richburg. I mean, they're tops. Brother Bill has got a servant's heart. He lives helping people. I don't care what it is. Tuning your car up, fixing this light out here that don't burn, doing shelves for a part of the bookstore. I mean, constantly he's helping somebody, doing something for somebody. Brother Bill and Sister Vicki have been with us like 20 years, I guess. Underneath them is Sean and Emma Dunn, sitting right here. Sean and Emma are just as stable, and they fight a lot. I mean, we're out to dinner. And I heard Emma tell Sean the other day, said, buddy, I'll leave you down here. I'll go off and leave you. Amen. You don't have a way to get home. Amen. Boy, they've been a great help to us. Now, Brother Jason, he's on there. Jason is an evangelist. He's not a full-time field rep. He's an evangelist, but when he's out in evangelism, he represents Victory Baptist Press. And then you got Tony and Dee Smith, and I don't know what to say about him. I change my mind every day. Tony's having a hard time because Tony and Dee, they've been on the upper level. They've been, I mean, they've rubbed shoulders with big people. I'd be scared to death to even get around people like there, but they've been there. But they found out some of that's not too good, and they came with us. And they had to step down as far as I don't know what, but they did. But I tell you, Tony is a preaching machine, and he's been a big help to us. In fact, Tony had a friend in college not long ago. That friend came by here, and he called, wanted to know if we'd get him a motel. We did. When he left, he paid for it. Well, we're not asking anybody to do that, but he did. But he did mention one night, he said, down south where you can get good seafood. So I heard him say that. So we took him over to the fish house in Pensacola, Mary and I, him and his wife, and we get him a good seafood dinner and had good fellowship with him. And the other day, he sent an offering $10,000. That wouldn't happen if he didn't like Tony Smith. When he likes Tony Smith, he likes us. Amen. And that's Brother Tony. And Brother Tony's a preacher. Now, you other guys don't get offended at me, but he can preach better than all of us. Me, you, the whole crowd. Amen. I mean, he's a preaching machine. And Sister D, I said, we need her, because I told her when they came, I said, Sister D, you can't be a pastor's wife. And I said, well, why? I can't be a preacher's wife. I said, I didn't say you couldn't be a preacher's wife. I said, you can't be a pastor's wife. You overshadow everybody. I mean, you walk in, it's like a bee stung. Bing! I mean, everybody woke up, man. You know she's been there. Well, that's good. Go in, get out. Go in, get out. They'll never forget you were there. Amen. And sing like a lark. So I appreciate Brother Tony. Appreciate Sister D. Now, another friend, better to Brother Bill than to myself, Brother Tony, the brother out at Joy. The other day they closed their church. And what's another brother's name? Danley. Yeah, Brother Danley. I know it not as well as mine, but I know Brother Danley. And Brother Danley sent us some information, and he said that they'd sold their church, wanted to give Victory Baptist Press a good offering. They did. And I knew him well, but Brother Bill, good friends to him. So through that friendship, he gave the ministry a good offering. But in that offering, here's what he said. He said, now, usually the unsung heroes are the ladies behind these ministries. And he said, designated, he wanted Sister Vicki to get $850. He wanted my wife to get $850. And so that's a blessing out of that offering, you know, that we got that kind of money. Amen. But you know what? That woke me up. And you know what? That shop would have trouble operating without Sarah and Grace. Boy, they do a good job. You might as well shoot Brother Billy if you take Vicki away. And I know Sean's not going to make it without Emma. She'll leave him on the road. No, got to have him. And Dee, got to have her. Now, we got a bookstore in there, and all the proceeds from the sale of books goes back into Bible training. And Chris, my daughter, and Rachel Eads have put untold hours in making that bookstore work. And it's worked. So, you know what we got? We got a list of women tonight. Sarah Berg, Grace Kendrick, Vicki Richburg, Emma Dunn, Dee Smith, Crystal Holiday, and Rachel Eads. And then my wife takes care of the finances. For 25 years, she has refused to do online banking. And when she gets that bank statement at the end of the month and reconciles it with her books, it's got to be to the penny. And you print out hard copies, and they're stored around here by dates for about 25 years. She does it the old-fashioned way. But she don't have checks bounced. When she goes to the bank, how you, Miss Mary? When I go to the bank, got to show photo ID to get a check. How you, Miss Mary? Good to have the banker speaking to you by first name. Amen. You know, my wife is so critical about that money. When we order paper, we get a $35,000 load of paper payable within 30 days. But if you pay it within 10 days, you get a 1% discount. She always pays it within 10 days and get that $350 discount. We pay with credit cards. She does that. But they pay monthly, and you don't let any interest accrue. You know what that does? You get free air miles. And she gets gift cards to give gifts to everybody else. Now, that's where my wife operates. She keeps that. She takes care of the payrolls. Nobody's ever late getting a check. What do you say? I'm telling you what kind of ministry you got. That's what you've got. There's never been better field reps than what we've got. Hey, guys, y'all keep your Facebook. I'm just a meddling, you know. But I don't want to upset the women. Bible said, meddle not with them that are given to change. You say, who's that? That's women. They change everything, you know. You better leave them alone. Don't meddle with them. Amen. Now, let me give you something. Now, you listen to this. Unless you see it, you don't know what's happening. But we shipped Bibles last year in as small a quantity as 14 Bibles, 100 John and Romans booklets, and larger quantities as much as a 20-foot container with 40,000 pounds of scripture. In August of 2019, which was last year, Brother Don Rich received his fourth shipment of 25,000 Bibles. That means Don Rich in Cajamarca, Peru, has received 100,000 Spanish Bibles. In South America, the country of Peru has 31 million people. Argentina has 43 million. Bolivia has 10.5 million. Chile has 18 million. Colombia, South America, has 48.5 million. Ecuador has 16 million. Paraguay has 7 million. Uruguay has 3 million. Venezuela has 30.5 million. That's 207.5 million people in South America. You have put Bibles in all nine of those Spanish-speaking countries in South America. This church did that. You are this church. These girls put that stuff together. Brother Al Berg printed that stuff. Brother Joseph and Jacob helped print that stuff. Who paid for that? These field reps raised that money. Last year, we had scriptures to go to Nicaragua 2 times. Brother William Thompson came in, picked up 1,000, put them on a truck, took them to Central Florida and shipped them. Brother Gary Swear came in and got a bunch on a trailer, took them, and he shipped a bunch to Nicaragua. And Brother Gary sent me videos of them passing them out of Nicaragua. So we shipped to Nicaragua 2 times. We shipped to Peru and from there to all the countries they have gone over the years. We currently have 9,000 Spanish Bibles, just like this one right here, already printed and ready to go. We're waiting for some material from Beacon of Truth over in South Carolina to add to the shipment. And these 9,000 will go again. It's Brother Don Rich. They got a conference coming up in May. It looks like Jacob and Anna may go to that conference. Those are already printed and ready to go. We've got 3,000 Spanish Bibles that have already been shipped. They're en route right now to Guadalajara, Mexico. And that's for a conference that Brother Brent Logan and Brother Michael Meyer are putting together in Mexico. That's already en route. And then this year, if you want to see the kind of work that Grace and Sarah do, here's a book that's a John and Romans parallel, Pidgin and English. So if you open it up, there's Pidgin in one column and English in the other. And I think the way they did that, they got the Pidgin text, and then you guys had to put the English on the other side, right? So all they had was a Pidgin, John and Romans, and they put it on the paper this side, under this side to put the King James Bible. They designed a cover, and that's already been shipped for John Allen for Port Moresby, the capital of New Guinea. 4,000 of those have gone out. You know what we're saying? I'm telling you tonight that Victory Baptist Church has a phenomenal ministry. He said, what did you charge for all that? We didn't charge anything. How you pay for it. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jacob just ordered a load of paper this week. It's scheduled to be delivered February the 10th. That'll be at least $35,000. So where are you going to get the money? Already got it. Brother Berg said he needed a dampening system for that four-color press out there. A Crestline dampening system make it much better as well. Order it. He got the price on it. $13,000. And where are you going to get the money? Already got it. Don't you get sick of people going around to God with their poor mouth and God. If you have a need, if you're right with God tonight and you've got a need that he hadn't met, that verse is not true. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. For years, Brother Berg's prayed for a computer to plate machine. And this past year, we got it. I think it's $28,000, but he got it. Computer to plate to press. State-of-the-art equipment, but he got it. $28,000. Where are you going to get the money to pay for it? It's already paid for. Every piece of equipment that print shop is paid for. Hey, you need to start living like who you are. You know who you are? You're a child of the King. And the King's children don't eat out of the dumpster. You ever read where David came to the threshing floor of Araunah? And he said, I'll buy it of you. Araunah said, no, I'll give it. David said, no, I'll not take to sacrifice to the Lord that which costs me nothing. But Arunah said, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to give to you like a king gives to a king. As a king giveth unto a king, so give I unto thee. You see, I took Brother Tony out the other day and bought him a suit. Amen. He ain't wearing any more rags and I was ashamed for him going to church. Amen. No, he always dresses nice. MSD there. I mean, their tops. Well, we bought him a suit. So why to do it? Well, I sit back and praying about it. And he's praying. The Lord laid on my heart to do it. So we bought him a suit. He manipulated me through. I knew what he wanted. He wanted to go to Dillard's. But he went to Joseph Banks first, and they didn't have it. I said, well, let's go over another. We went over there, and they didn't have it. We went to another, and they didn't have it. I said, well, I hate to go to Dillard's. That's so expensive. I said, Brother Tony, I am to treat you like a king would treat another king. If I take you out to eat, I'll tell you the best restaurant in town. Why? A king wouldn't take another king to McDonald's. You getting the picture? You can go if you want to. But you're the child of a king. Amen. You ought to live like it. How's that? The child of the king is not extravagant and he's not wasteful. But he doesn't walk through this world looking like this world. He's special. And I will say to you tonight, you're special to me. And you're a vessel, I hope, unto honor. But you are an earthen vessel. And I'm an earthen vessel. And you have things wrong with you. And I have things wrong with me. And if we could just help one another get back on the wheel, the potter will make it again. And when he does, give the potter the glory. We want to take a little money tonight. We'll not do it, but I'll tell you how we want to do it. It's not a lot, a couple hundred dollars each. But my wife wants to make sure that all these ladies go somewhere and spend some money on them. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, Sarah, Grace, Sister Vicky, Miss Emma, Miss Dee, Crystal, and Rachel, my wife's going to give you a credit card that is not to be spent on your husband. Now, if you can't spend it on yourself, give it back. Amen. But Sarah, Grace, Vicky, Emma, Dee, Crystal, and Rachel, if you meet my wife in the bookstore, and that's where special meetings ought to always be held, we need traffic in the bookstore. But if you meet her in the bookstore, she'll give you some money, and they're going to set up some guys. Who's got a birthday coming up? You got a birthday coming up. When is it?
Tuesday.
Tuesday? It'll probably be, I don't know where it'll be, but it'll be somewhere where you can get a free dessert with a birthday. All right, no preaching. You're putting out a lot of Bibles. You feel your responsibility. That ministry back there, that $200,000 or whatever you're giving to ministry at missions every year, that's your ministry. See, you're part of the body of Christ, and you testified to that when you got baptized in water and joined local church. Now be loyal to it. Treat it right. It's yours. And what it turns out to be is up to you. All right, then.
We are Don and Carla Rich, missionaries in Peru, South America. We work in the Northern Andes Mountains in the Department of Cajamarca. Here's our completed church building, which will also soon house a Bible Institute and a Christian school. God has truly blessed our ministry over the past 10 years. In 2010, Victory Baptist Press chose us to be the distributors of the Spanish Bible in South America. In 2011, Carla and I were able to visit the ministry of Victory Baptist Press. What a blessing it was to witness their operation. We were able to see the rolls of paper that would be used to print the Bibles to be sent to us in Peru. Enormous printing machinery is used to turn the blank paper into printed portions of the Word of God. Once printed, these portions, called signatures, are collated. Then a vinyl cover is placed over them. The finished product is the Holy Word of God, ready to be placed in the hands of many with no Bible. In March of 2012, the shipment of Bibles arrived in Peru by boat, then was brought to us by truck. Because of the massive weight, the entire load of over 1,700 cases had to be unloaded by hand before the container could be taken off the truck. The container was then lowered into place and then leveled up before reloading all of the cases back into it. At the end of the day, we were all tired but excited when the last case of Bibles were placed back into the container. News of the availability of the Bibles for churches spread quickly. Our doorbell began to ring as local pastors came to receive this blessing for their congregations. We also began delivering Bibles to many national pastors and missionaries in the mountains around us. We enjoyed seeing all of the smiling faces who appreciated this wonderful gift to their ministries. The national pastor who works with us was glad to receive cases of Bibles for our own church, Iglesia Bautista Calvario. Once the local deliveries were made, we started branching out. We sent out cases of Bibles by bus lines. We began loading up our mobile ministry van with thousands of Bibles to deliver to the coast and into the mountains. And when we could, to save time and fuel, we set up central meeting areas where we could provide Bibles for multiple pastors in their churches, like here where we supplied enough for over 20 ministries. The need was so great and so many pastors were requesting them in this area that it took two trips to deliver all the Bibles needed. More trips were necessary to deliver cases of Bibles to small groups of pastors from the capital city of Lima in the central coastal region to the northernmost area of Tumbes on the border of Ecuador. Other means were necessary at times to deliver the Bibles. Once we had to hire a four-wheel drive truck to deliver around 1,000 Bibles to a jungle area where the roads were so muddy and rutted that our van would not make it. We also loaded up over 2,000 Bibles and drove them across the mountain range to a jungle river port to be loaded on a barge. Once loaded into the hold below, they were shipped to the jungle capital of Peru, where they were distributed to pastors in 25 different ministries in many river villages. One great part of this trip was that I was able to lead the captain of the barge to our Lord. He and the shipping agent, who was already a Christian, listened intently as I shared the word with them. On another trip to the jungle, I was asked to share our Bible ministry with 14 pastors who had met together for a training session. As it was an unexpected invitation, I was only able to give each pastor one Bible. They are anxious to receive more for their churches. While in the area, we took advantage of a small boat that took us upriver. From there, we took the less beaten path to reach some small river villages with the gospel. We encountered this lady in one pueblo, and we answered many questions for her. Then she bowed her head and received Christ as her Savior. We were able to lead the small boat captain to the Lord on this trip and present him with his first Bible also. The Bible distribution is an international ministry. Our first trip into Ecuador was just across the border. We delivered several cases to a national pastor in need of Bibles for his church. This past November, we were able to make a delivery to the country of Chile. We traveled for over 2 days across the most arid desert in the world. And when we arrived in the capital city of Santiago, we were met by our host Mike and Marta Mullins. Their church will be a distribution point for over 1,800 Bibles and New Testaments to pastors and missionaries in that country. Our second trip back to Ecuador took us much further into the country. Our first stop was in Cuenca, Ecuador's third largest city. Everyone was excited as cases of Bibles were presented during the Sunday services at Iglesia Bautista de Fe, Faith Baptist Church. Here are three of the local pastors who benefited from this delivery. Our next stop was in the capital city of Quito in the northern part of the country. It is a city of around 2 million people. In one meeting, we shared Bibles for at least 6 different works. Not all could be present to receive them the day we arrived. Just northeast of Quito, we delivered Bibles to one pastor who will act as another distribution point. His church is in Guayabamba, and it will get the Bibles out to at least 5 other different churches. Most of the time, we don't get to meet those in the congregations who receive the Bibles, so some of the pastors have sent us some pictures that bless our hearts. These are a few of the families and individuals from the coastal desert region who have received the Bibles. Here are some great photos from churches in the jungle river villages. In most of the villages in this area, the pastor is the only person who has a Bible. We were told that grown men were crying as they received the first Bible that they had ever held. But now each member of the family has their own Bible to study. Now everyone can follow along with the pastor as he preaches. Young minds and hearts can now read God's Word, such as this young lady who is holding her first Bible. We have been blessed to personally deliver Bibles into at least 11 of the 24 departments of Peru. We've also been able to get Bibles into 6 different countries in South America. Through conferences, the Lord has allowed me to present the Bible ministry and speak on the purity of the Word of God. Fellow missionary Shane Rice has taught on the history of the Spanish Bible in these conferences. In a recent conference in Lima, we spoke to several hundred pastors and missionaries. It was a great time of fellowship and getting to know many whom we've never met. After the conference, pastors lined up to receive cases of Bibles for their churches. When all the Bibles were gone, I found myself cornered by many more needing this blessing for their congregations. I took down the information of each and promised them that I would contact them when we had more Bibles. Within 18 months of receiving the shipment of Bibles, all of them have been delivered or promised. I'm contacted weekly by pastors and missionaries asking for Bibles in areas that we have not yet reached. At last count, we have requests for several thousand more Bibles. An empty container is a blessing that shows that many now have the Word of God in their hands. But it is also a reminder of those who still do not have a Bible to read. I'd like to share a video that was sent to us by our contact in one area of the jungle where we understand they need thousands of more Bibles for churches there. I'll translate for you. We are a group of Christian brothers here in Utupis. In large part, the pastors are the only ones who have Bibles. We are very grateful that you have made it possible that the Bible could arrive in this place. We are very happy and send greetings to you all. There are many churches in this zone that do not have Bibles. It is our prayer that God would make it possible that Bibles would arrive for those churches also. God bless you.
The video you just saw was created and sent out in January 2014 to help raise the funds needed to supply more Bibles so that we could get them into the hands of those who so desperately need them. By God's grace, the funds were raised in only 10 months to send 25,000 more Bibles to Peru. The ministry of Victor Baptist Press has been faithfully printing and sending out Bibles, New Testaments, and John and Romans booklets to missionaries in foreign countries since 1984. Only God knows how many souls have been saved, how many lives have been changed, and how many ministries have been blessed through their diligence to fulfill the calling that God has placed on their lives. Carla and I, along with many other missionaries, would like to ask you to prayerfully consider helping Victory Baptist Press print and supply the Word of God to a lost and dying world. Your tax-deductible support can make an eternal difference in the lives of many in these last days. May God bless you who have a heart to see the work of God advance through the distribution of His Word.